Okay, Jim, you're welcome to start whenever you're ready. Everybody else can unmute or can mute while Jim's playing. Right.
Amen. Thank you, Jim, for that beautiful opening song. Good morning, everyone. This is the day that God is making, and we are grateful and rejoice in it. I want to welcome each of you to this time of worship. My name is Pastor Katie. My pronouns are she, her, hers, and I'm pastor at Tabernacle United Church and am grateful to be here with you this morning and so thankful that we can gather even in this time where we can't be physically present with one another, that we can gather together in spirit and connect with each other and with God. So I'm grateful to be here and want to welcome each of you to this time of worship. I want to give a special welcome to those who might be visiting with us for the first time. If you're here and are joining us, thank you for being here and we welcome you. You are also welcome to introduce yourself. You can do that either by saying your name through the chat feature, and we would love to hear that you're visiting here with us. Or you can also email me, let me know a little bit about you or that you're visiting. You can email me at the email address in front of you, tabunitedpastor@gmail.com, and I would love to hear from you. So welcome, all of us, each of us, to this time of worship. Have a couple announcements to highlight this morning. One is that today is Communion Sunday, so we will be participating in the Eucharist as we give thanks and celebrate Jesus's presence with us. So you are invited to participate right in your home, and we later on in the service will celebrate the communion, and you can have elements ready, any kind of food or drink that you want to set aside to symbolize the body and blood of Christ. You can do that. It doesn't have to be bread or juice. It can be anything that you have that can become those symbols for you. So please prepare that. If you'd like to participate, everyone is welcome to participate. Also want to highlight that today we'll be welcoming four new members to TAB. And so in just a little bit early on in the service, we will be doing that. And there will be a part for you to play, for the new members to play, but also a part for you as the congregation to play as we make our covenant with these new members. And we are really excited to do that today. So that will be happening. In addition, also today starts the kickoff of our stewardship season. So we will be starting, and you actually will be getting a letter in the mail to tell you a little bit about the stewardship campaign this year. And all of our forms are filling out the time and talent forms. This year will be virtual, so you can do that, so you can do that online. We will be sending all of this information to you. The both pledge forms as well as the time and talent forms will be online. You can have a paper copy if you need to, if that is easiest for you, and we will let you know how you can get a paper copy. But we're encouraging folks, especially this year, to fill out the forms online. That will make things a lot easier for us and for Shell in the office. So we will be sending out more of that information today, but we give thanks, especially that Vic Comfer is going to be sharing a little bit later in the service, stewardship testimonial for us to kick off that season. And this year, our theme for stewardship is Be Thou My Vision, Creating a Community of Justice. So we invite you to prayerfully come into this season, also be thinking about the ways that you would like to contribute, to give of your time and your gifts to this community, to build up this community. So with that, I want to invite us now to quiet our hearts, to open up our hearts as we worship together.
Good morning. My name is Elizabeth and my pronouns are she, her, hers. Please join me in the call to worship. Come into this space, a space made holy by our love for God. A space made sacred by our love for one another. If we feel reluctant or afraid, God calls us more tenderly. If we feel alone, God sends kind voices to bring us together. Let us bring our spirits and our hearts to this place of worship.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pax, and my pronouns are they, them, and I invite you to sing some songs of praise and worship together this morning, starting with God is Still Creating, and I invite you to affirm this for yourself this morning, that God is creating in our world and in each of us. Let's sing together. Giving water in the wilderness, sending manna down to feed the hungry ones, forming cloud and fire to guide and bless. God is making new. All around us and from the inside, God is making. That God is still creating. God is making all things new, giving us the words to speak truth to power, changing bodies and calling us new names, speaking peace within our darkest hour. God is making new. All around us and from the inside, God is making new. Join in celebrating that God is still creating. God is still creating. God is still creating. God is still creating. God is still Amen. The next song that I'd like us to sing is a song by Pastor Katie called Come to the Wild. And it's been a really helpful invitation to me as I play this to think about returning to nature as a source of strength, the peace of the earth, and to remember our ancestors. Let's sing together.
Come to my river, bathe in waters of grace. Don't hold on to your shame. washing my grace. Come to the wild meadows of my design. Find your place in creation. Watch the birds in the sky. Touch the leaves, feel the breeze. Here you belong. Take courage, step in. I have carried you through. Remember the purpose I have placed on you. Fly on the wings of your ancestors' songs. You belong. You belong. Stand in the strength of a tall maple tree. Find my roots that grow down, holding tree next to seed, holding in, holding on, here you belong. Take courage, step in, I have carried you through. Remember the purpose I have placed on you. Fly on the wings of your ancestors' songs. You belong. You belong.
Let's sing that again.
Take courage, step in. I have carried you through. Remember the purpose I have placed on you. Fly on the wings of your ancestors' songs.
Please join me in the opening prayer. God has called us to be disciples. In these days, how can we serve God? How can we hear God calling us through the noise of hatred? How can we hear God through our own despair? Please join me in the prayer confession. Jesus tells us, do not be conformed to the world. But sometimes we feel like lumps of clay, pulled and punched by the world's hands. Jesus calls us to proclaim good news. How can we spread God's word when we can barely hear it through the noise of accusations and lies? Jesus calls us to help free those who are imprisoned and oppressed. How can we free others when we feel locked into cages of doubt and fear? We feel blinded by the hate around us. We feel crushed by grief and loss. How can we be disciples? How can we serve? The God who created us as thinking, loving beings will not leave us in despair. The God who calls us to serve and worship will show us the way. Thanks be to God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
I invite you to join me in singing a song of praise together. Be lifted.
Jesus, we lift your name on high, your name on high, be lifted high. Jesus, we lift your name on high, your name on high, be lifted high. be lifted high, be lifted high, be lifted high, be lifted high in all the earth, be lifted high, be lifted high, be lifted high, be lifted high in all the earth. Cristo tu nombre alabaré, alabaré, te alabaré. Cristo tu nombre alabaré, alabaré, te alabaré, 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 tu nombre alabaré, 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 tu nombre alabaré. Jesus, we lift your name on high, your name on high, be lifted high.
Amen. Before we move into passing the peace with one another, we are going to now welcome our new members and make our promises with those who are joining us this morning. So I want to virtually welcome or ask for those folks to come forward. So you will hopefully see them on your screen. Elizabeth and Ray Kingfield, Priscilla Koutsourades, and Joanna Bowen are all joining us this morning as members, and we're so grateful for each of you and for this decision and the process you have gone through to make that choice. And so we are both welcoming them, but we are also taking some time to make our promises to one another in this time. So I'm going to say just a few words here of invitation, and then we will have some questions for each of them to answer. And then we will respond. So you have all that you need to see in front of you. So here is the invitation. Friends in Christ, Priscilla, Joanna, Ray, and Elizabeth have found nurture and support in the midst of this family of Christ. Through prayer and study, they have been led by the Holy Spirit to affirm their faith and to claim in our presence their covenantal relationship with Christ and the members of this church. They are here for service to Jesus Christ using the gifts which the Holy Spirit bestows. So Priscilla, Joanna, Ray, and Elizabeth, I have three questions for you. First, trusting in the gracious mercy of our Creator, do you commit yourself to growing in the life of the Spirit, nurturing your relationship with God, and listening for God's call in your life? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
I do.
And will you be a follower of Christ, showing forth compassion, witnessing to God's radically inclusive love, and renouncing sin's power in your life and in the world? If so, please say, I will with God's help.
I will with God's help.
And do you desire to be a committed member of this congregation, allowing us to accompany you on your faith journey and lending your resources and talents to strengthen this community of faith as we witness together to God's hope, reconciliation, justice, and peace? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Today, we rejoice in the pilgrimage of faith, which has brought you to this time and place. We give thanks for every community of faith that has been your spiritual home, and we celebrate your presence in this household of faith. Let us, the members and friends of Tabernacle United Church, express our welcome and affirm our mutual ministry in Christ. This is the first time we have welcomed anyone since the pandemic. So let us all, as we would normally in the sanctuary, say these words together. We welcome you with joy in the common life of this church. We promise you our friendship and prayers as we share the hopes and labors of the Church of Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may we continue to grow together in God's knowledge and love and be witnesses to our risen Savior. In the name of Jesus Christ and on behalf of Tabernacle United Church, we extend to you the hand of Christian love, welcoming you into the company of this local church. Eternal Creator, we praise you for calling us to be your servant people and for gathering us into the body of Christ. We thank God for Ray, Elizabeth, Joanna, and Priscilla. May we as a church work with them in serving the needs of one another, our neighbors, and creation. Confirm in us the power of your covenant that we may live in your spirit, share regularly in worship, and so love each other that we may have among us the same mind which was in Christ Jesus, to whom be all honor and glory. Amen.
So with that, we are now going to pass the peace of Christ with each other. We are going to celebrate, so let your voice be heard as well. Let's take a moment to pass the peace of Christ, but also to greet our new members and say hello. So you can unmute now, or you will hopefully have the ability to do that. And if you go to gallery view, we can see each other. So may the peace of Christ be with you all.
Peace to you all.
Yay!
Peace.
Welcome, Joanna.
Welcome, Elizabeth.
Yay.
Welcome, Priscilla.
Yay. Welcome, Ray. Peace
be with you.
Glad to have you officially with us.
Welcome.
That's great.
Sir, you have no flowers behind you today.
Elizabeth, what's the dog's name?
Mrs. Rustin.
Ah.
All right, welcome, Rustin.
It is the feast of St. Francis today, so I think it's totally appropriate that Rustin is here.
Yeah. All creatures, great and small.
What do you do?
Hi, Verona.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, Jane. Amy.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Tonio.
Hey, Oscar. Peace, Oscar.
Hi, Gina. Oscar, look at you.
Thanks.
Morning, Auntie Laura.
Hi, Alicia.
Oh, there's Oscar. Hi, Oscar.
Where is
Nicole?
Oscar?
That's not Elliot with you.
This is my mom.
Oh, hi.
Hello, mother.
Hi, Nicole and mom.
Here he comes. Here he is.
Hey, buddy.
Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Tonya.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Carl.
This is the time in our service where we invite the children forward closer to the screen to participate in children's time. Let's sing together.
Come and see, I am the way and the truth, said he. Follow me, come as a child, O come and see.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. My name is Lucinda. My pronouns are she and her. And today in Children's Time, I want to tell you that I love stories. I love stories. I love when Robert and Bessa tell me stories, stories that are true and stories that might be imagined. I love stories in books. This is one of my favorite stories in a book that we love to read, about the little blue truck and about his friends who help him. I love to listen to stories on the radio about people all over the world. And I love stories in movies and television shows. I really love stories. And the other day, Robert and Bessa watched a new movie called Mary Poppins Returns. And it had a song in it that I had never heard, but they really loved it. And the title of the song, the chorus of the song, is "The cover is not the book, so open it up and take a look." And I just thought, I mean, that's a very old idea, but it was a very nice story and a very nice song. And it made me think that Jesus would agree with that idea, right? Jesus loves stories. And he told stories all the time. That is one of the main things he did in his ministry, is he told stories. And a lot of the stories that he told and a lot of the other stories of God are in the Bible, and are also in this book that the kids all just got this week. Thank you, Geneva. Or last week, they got this book. And we're going to be using this storybook that has so many of God's stories for Sunday school. And I just wanted to take another minute to think about why Jesus loves stories so much. I mean, I think Jesus loves stories because everyone has a story. And when we think about stories, someone else's story, then we think more about our own story. And we start to look for stories everywhere, right? You can look for a story in a tree, and the way the tree branches grow tell a story about that tree. I have this great shell. I don't know if you can see it. It's got these scratches on it. And I just wonder, what is the story of those scratches? How did they get there, right? So nature has stories too, right? We know that every person we pass on the street and every friend in school and every teacher has a story. And Jesus really wants us to take time to think about other people's stories and our own story. So I just want to say a prayer and thank God. So please join me in prayer. God, thank you for sending Jesus to tell us stories. Thank you that you are still telling stories today. Thank you for putting stories everywhere so that we can find them and share them and grow closer together in your community with all your creation and all your children. Amen.
Child of God, you are a child of God. Let your light shine bright to the world. You are a child of God.
Our first scripture reading is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, and siblings in Christ, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Our second reading is from Luke, chapter 4, verses 16 to 21. When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. God has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, we give you thanks for this day and for your spirit that is alive and moving in our midst, in our hearts, in our homes, giving us life and vision. God, we ask that you would speak to us right now. I ask, God, that you would speak through me and that you would speak in spite of me, and that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Frederick Douglass was born, as you may know, into slavery in Maryland. And he recounted the horrors of living as chattel in his well-known autobiography, Narrative of the Life of Frederick Douglass, an American Slave. In the appendix of that book, he shifted his focus to explain that there are multiple Christs that exist in our country, and that there is a stark difference between what he called the Christianity of this land and the Christianity of Christ. The Christianity of this land, he said, is in fact not Christianity at all, but rather slaveholding religion. Slaveholding religion disguised as Christianity. He explains it in this way. He says this: between the Christianity of this land and the Christianity of Christ, I recognize the widest possible difference, so wide that to receive the one as good, pure, and holy is of necessity to reject the other as bad, corrupt, and wicked. I love the pure, peaceable, and impartial Christianity of Christ. I therefore hate the corrupt, slave-holding, women-whipping, cradle-plundering, partial and hypocritical Christianity of this land. Indeed, I can see no reason but the most deceitful one for calling the religion of this land Christianity. End quote. Frederick Douglass exposed the sin and hypocrisy of the Christianity of this land. And he exposed how the gospel itself, the good news of Jesus, had been twisted so violently, in fact, so that it was not only okay to be Christian and to hold slaves and beat your slaves, but to also justify the subordination of African and indigenous people as the divinely ordained will of God. He exposed the hypocrisy of this. And then he did that in part by telling his story, but he also exposed this truth because he himself knew about the good news of Jesus, the Christ of Christianity, as he called it, the Jesus who brought a life-giving message of freedom for the oppressed and for the poor. He knew this Jesus. I think as people living in North America in 2020, and especially Christians living in North America, we have to reckon with this history, that because this history lives in us and it has shaped our policies today. There are still multiple Christs that haunt us and our country. Slaveholding religion disguised as Christianity actually still exists, and there is a wide difference between it and the Christianity of Christ. One of the ways that we still see slaveholding religion manifesting itself today is in a theology that takes Jesus out of this world. A theology that takes Jesus out of this world. That's what my friend and longtime pastor Nibs Stroop says. He says that one of the ways that slaveholders could own and mistreat their slaves and still call themselves Christian was to emphasize that all God and Jesus cared about was the eternal status of their souls. I remember growing up a little paper tract that was popular in evangelical circles growing up. I remember it was green, and I think I probably distributed this tract to some people. It was small, and on the front of it, it said the bridge to eternal life. And inside, I remember there was kind of a scary picture. There was this picture of this cross that was a bridge. And on the one side is where you stood. On the other side was what was called eternal life. And you had to cross over the cross, over this bridge, to get to eternal life. And underneath it was this gulf. And it just was this dark pit that was called eternal death. And in this little booklet, it gave you some prayers and some steps to take so that you could get over that bridge and into eternal life. And the whole tract explained how you could escape that pit. And this, I learned, was what salvation was all about, escaping eternal death. But noticeably absent in this tract was anything about the life and justice and mercy that we are called to through Jesus and through the cross here in this world. That wasn't in that tract. You know, I think sometimes I think if you were an alien and you came to earth and you read the gospel, gospel writers for the first time, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, I actually think it would be pretty difficult for you to conclude that Jesus and God care mostly about the eternal state of your soul. Now, don't get me wrong. I actually do believe in the afterlife. And there is solid biblical grounding for a God whose love expands beyond what we know in this world, and that there is more to this life than there's more that awaits us than just this life. I believe that. But if we take Jesus out of this world and make the cross mean something as shallow as a ticket to the afterlife instead of a way of life in solidarity with the oppressed of this land, then we are messing with the integrity of the gospel itself. We are messing with the integrity of the gospel itself. If we take Jesus out of this world, then Jesus becomes unconcerned for Black lives in the here and now who are being harassed and even shot to death in the sanctity of their own home. Jesus becomes unconcerned about the policies that keep people living in poverty. Frederick Douglass is such a powerful witness, and he reminds me this morning that you and I and all of us must reckon with this history that lives within us and around us still. And that if we want to follow Jesus, if we want to become his disciples, we have to get clear about which Jesus we are following. Because there are multiple Christs that exist in this country. If we want to be disciples of the Christ of Christianity, the Christ that Frederick Douglass knew and trusted, then we are going to need to look for that Jesus intentionally and allow that Jesus to come and find us and set us free. We are starting a sermon series today that will take us through the election season into November. This sermon series is about discipleship. And discipleship simply means following Christ. It means becoming a student of Jesus. If you don't know this already, discipleship is actually a part of TAB's mission statement. We say we are called into compassionate community following Christ. So discipleship is important to who we are as a community. And discipleship is not just learning about Jesus, but that's part of it. But discipleship is about following, it's about doing, it's about practice, like formational practices. Discipleship is about formation in the likeness of Christ. And so it's important, I think, that we get clear on which Jesus we are following and which Jesus we are conforming ourselves to. Paul says in Romans, do not be conformed to this world. And in our context, I would make that specific. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to slaveholder religion, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can discern the will of God. In Luke 4, the passage that Elizabeth read for us this morning, Jesus has come out of the wilderness. And he is giving his very first sermon, his very first sermon. It's his inaugural sermon. And this sermon is so important in Luke because it lays out what is at the heart of Jesus's ministry. In a way, you could say that this passage sums up Jesus's mission statement. For any talk about discipleship and following Jesus, I think it is good for us to start with this passage. Jesus takes on the mantle of a prophet and says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Notice here in this inaugural sermon that the good news is offered to a particular group of people. Who are they? Who are the recipients of the good news? Who are the recipients of the good news? Good news to whom? I want to hear you, Tab. Good news to whom? Can you tell me? Tell me in the chat. Who is the good news proclaimed to? The poor, to the oppressed. Good news to the poor. Good news to the poor. That's not a metaphor. That's not a metaphor. It really means poor folk. Yes, to the marginalized, to the captives. It really means this group of people. You know, Reverend Dr. Barber helped me to understand that the word used here for poor folk in Greek is phtochos, which means people who have been made poor by an unjust system. People who have been made poor. So it refers to people who have been made to be enslaved by an unjust system. People whose necks are caught under the boot of empire. The good news is good news in as much as it is good news to the poor. Right here we see that to follow Jesus will mean a direct challenge then to the injustices that make people poor and that put people in bondage. This is the Jesus that Frederick Douglass knew. This is the Jesus that Ida B. Wells followed. This is the Jesus of Howard Thurman and Dr. King. This is the Jesus of Dorothy Day and Oscar Romero. This is the Jesus of Black Lives Matter and of Black Trans Lives Matter. This Jesus is, to use the words that Chris Page used last week, this Jesus is the Holy Disruptor Jesus. And even though this Jesus is a holy disruptor in my life, I know that I want to be close to this Jesus. I want to be close to the Jesus that Frederick Douglass knew. So Jesus takes on this prophetic mantle in this text and gives us his agenda for what he is about here on earth. And he doesn't stop with words. If we keep watching him, he will become the very words he preaches. He will become the very words. He will become a living sacrifice for liberation and for the healing of all people. And if we follow him, he will invite each of us to become a living sacrifice too, with our own lives. So over the next few weeks, as we focus on discipleship, we will be asking ourselves, how can we practice conforming our lives into the likeness of Jesus, who came to bring good news to the poor? And how do we then become non-conformists to the world and to slaveholder religion? It's not easy, because what we are resisting is often disguised as gospel, as Christianity, as Jesus. And we have to learn to see how the devil can dress in an angel's robe. To use a metaphor that Frederick Douglass used, he said this: devils can dress in angels' robes, and hell can present the semblance of paradise. Whew. Not all who use Jesus' name are actually following him. And we have to see this, and we have to resist the devil who masquerades as Christian. So in these days ahead, we want to practice staying close to Jesus, who Douglass knew, and who our ancestors in the faith knew. We need to stay close to Jesus and be looking for him all the time, to be open to him coming to us and saving us from our captivity. I know that these days are difficult, they're confusing and exhausting. But Jesus is coming to us even in these days, and he is always coming to us, always inviting us into God's reign, saying, come, follow me. Amen. Amen.
Take me as I am. Summon out what I shall be. Set your seal upon my heart and live in me. Take, oh, take me as I am. Summon out what I shall be.
Hello, everyone. I'm Vic Comfer, for any of you that may not know me. A really special welcome to the new people today. And I've been asked to introduce the stewardship theme, which is Be Thou My Vision, Creating a Community of Justice. And to address briefly how or why do I want to invest in the TAB community? And what is it about our life together that has value for me? Over the many years I've been at TAB, what's been really important for me, and it's been a learning process, is the importance of maintaining together as a community a dynamic that balances our spirituality, our spiritual process, a process of reflection, meditation, worship, with action and activity and justice making. Sometimes in our history, as I've known it, we've perhaps leaned a little bit too much in one direction or the other. If we just do justice work, we can get really burned out. We need to balance that with the reflection and spirituality, which can also lead us into greater wisdom and wiser actions. And that process has led TAB into a vision and practice of radical hospitality. That seems to be a central core of what our community really stands for. And that is expressed in many, many ways, but two of the most concrete ways are our renewal of our commitment to the sanctuary movement and to providing hospitality to our new sanctuary family, the Thompsons, who are with us. Another concrete expression of that over the years has been the open and affirming witness, the very special welcome to people who have been marginalized in our society. This radical hospitality is more than simply acts of charity or goodwill. These are ways in which we enrich ourselves as a whole community. We, as a community, learn so much from each other, and the great number of talents and insight that everyone brings together. So these are some of the things that I particularly value about Tabernacle, and the reason I personally make an investment, not only materially, but also of time, involvement in activities. And so this is the season of the year that the stewardship committee and others invite everyone to think about these questions. How do you want to invest in the TAB community? What is it of value to you? So in that spirit, as we enter this time of offering, I ask you to reflect on that. And as Katie said, you'll be receiving some online material soon where you can concretely express that. But as we enter our period of offering, I invite you to think about this and also to give what you feel your heart is guiding you to give today. You can do that electronically, texting any amount to 84321. Or you can visit the website at TAB, tabunited.org/contribute, or you can write a check and send it directly to the church at 3700 Chestnut Street. We will now have a period of reflection and give you that opportunity to give as your heart expresses.
Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me? Will you leave yourself behind if I but call your name? Will you care for cruel and kind and never be the same? Will you risk the hostile stare should your life attract or care? Will you let me answer prayer in you and you in me? Lord, your summons echo true when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I'll go where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you and you.
Gather these gifts and bless them and use them to do your work. Amen.
Amen. Friends, this is the time now that we're going to take to share a little of what's on our heart. So if you have a prayer concern, a struggle, a joy, that you would like to lift up before God and one another, this is the time that you can do that. So we use, if you're new or relatively new, what we do is we use the chat box for this. So you're welcome to put in your prayers in that, in the chat, and I will read them as they come through. So let us take a moment and listen to one another and lift up the prayers that are on our hearts, knowing that God hears us and hears our cries, even the prayers that we can't form into words. So let us pray. From Amy and Jean, we ask the prayers for Amy and Jean as we travel the journey of Jean's diagnosis of a mild form of breast cancer. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Gwyneth, prayers that God would turn my absolute rage and fear over recent political events into meaningful action. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Chris Purdom, for the 40,000 airline workers who lost their jobs October 1st. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Betty, Smithsonian, a prayer for my stepmom, whose mother passed last week. She's struggling with grief. thank you. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Carly, one of my clients at the Public Defenders this week went through a crisis and was hospitalized. Please pray for healing for her and strength for us, that as members of her defense team, we can help her navigate this difficult time. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Thank you. From Nicole, prayers for each of our new members and that our lives together might be a mutual blessing. Yes. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. These prayers we lift up together, both these prayers that were spoken and the ones that remain on our hearts in silence. And want to read a couple more from Vic. To seek wisdom, compassion, and just actions amidst the noise and accusations and threats of this unusual election period. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And from Gina Antonio del Corazon, pray for everyone irresponsibly exposed to COVID in the Washington, D.C. and the world. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Jibin, a prayer of gratitude for this community in which we continue to grow and understand the true Christ together. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Amen. Thank you for each of you for sharing. Oh, wait, one more, Michelle and Amanda. I'm so thankful for Katie sharing those encouraging words that show me that there is so much in the true gospel that is so liberating. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Yes. Let us now join our hearts as we sing together these songs of prayer. So whatever is on your heart, let's lift up the prayers that have been spoken, hold them in our hearts, lift them up to God, and also lift up what is still on our hearts that we can't speak out loud, but trusting God to hold them. Let's sing together. Let us now prepare our hearts and our tables for communion. So if you have some elements that you have set aside, you can bring them into your midst right now. Or if you need a moment to gather them, you can do that right now. I'm going to say a few words of invitation as we gather around this table. And I want us to imagine this morning, because this is, we're in a time of pandemic, it's difficult, both with welcoming new members this morning and also with the Lord's Supper. These are the parts that we really, that are so about community and being in each other's presence. And I know it's really difficult to be celebrating these important moments in the life of our church while we're apart. So I think this is where we have the holy imagination that God gives us to remember and to imagine that we are all at this table together, and that this table is not just our table, but it is God's table. and that each of us are welcome to come in whatever shape, form we're in, whatever doubts we have, whatever is on our hearts. All you need to come to the table is your own need, your own longing to be with Jesus, to follow Jesus. Jesus invites each of us to come just as we are. So remember that as we come to this table, that though we are many scattered throughout the earth and this church community is scattered, we are all one in Christ. Remember that there are no boundaries to God's love or to this feast. The risen Christ is our host, and he bids us to be present right where we are and to receive the gift of Christ's presence. So let's sing together our invitational song. And if you want to use that time to gather elements or to just center yourself at the welcome table, let's sing.
Gonna eat at the welcome table.
Apple juice and bread from my home. So whatever you have, you can use too. I want to invite you to rest your hands on the elements. If you have them in front of you, pray with me these prayers of blessing upon the elements that you have. We give thanks to you, Holy God, for calling forth creation and forming us from the dark earth and with the breath of your being. We bless you for your continual love and care for every creature. We praise you for forming us in your image and calling us to be your people. Send your spirit of life and love, power and blessing upon every table where we share in the feast. May we know communion with you, Holy God, communion with Jesus Christ, communion with creation, communion with one another, even in this virtual setting. May this bread be broken and gathered in love, and this cup poured out as a pouring out of hope and restoration in our lives. We pray this in the name of our friend and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We remember that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it, giving thanks to God, saying, "This is my body. I give this body, my body, as a living sacrifice. This is my body broken for you. Whenever you eat this, remember me." And in the same way, he took the cup, and after pouring it out, he said, "This is my blood. It is poured out for you. It is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink this, remember me." So in our many homes, let us receive the body of Christ, the bread of life. Let's eat together. And in our many homes and places, let us receive the blood of Christ, the cup of forgiveness. Let's drink together.
Thank you. Santo, 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 mi corazón te adora, mi corazón te sabe decir, Santo eres, Señor, Santo, 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 mi corazón te adora, mi corazón te sabe decir, Santo eres, Señor.
Let us pray. Spirit of Christ, you have blessed our tables and our lives. May the eating of this meal give us courage to speak faith and act love in our homes, in the streets, and wherever we go in your precious world. And may the drinking of this cup renew our hope and increase our love for one another and creation. Will you, God, wrap your hopeful presence around all whose bodies, spirits, and hearts need love and restoration? In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Will you join me now as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us with whatever words, language that feels most comfortable to you, and or you can use the version on the screen in front of you. Let us pray together. Our parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, these days are confusing, difficult, exhausting. And I know that each of us is carrying a burden, and some of us are carrying really heavy burdens these days. I want to encourage us or give you the reminder that even in the midst of this time when we are confused and there's so much going on, that Jesus is still coming to us. Still coming into our midst and inviting us to follow God, follow him into God's reign of justice and mercy. Let us remember that truth, be open to Jesus's presence as we move through this season. So friends, go knowing that you do not go alone. And may the God of peace and mercy and justice be with you. Amen.